Hi, I'm Kyle, and on episode 474 of the MWA podcast, Sean, Mark, and myself are asking Eric Reinl the five questions. And if you haven't already, be sure to check out Eric's interview on episode 473. So, welcome back to the show, Eric.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you back. And before we get started with the five questions, do we have a Patreon shout out for this week?
You know, we do. We always like to give a big Patreon shout out. And today we're giving that shout out to Sean Nichols. Sean, my namesake with a different spelling. Thank you for supporting us at the MWA podcast. And if you, listener, if you're not already supporting us, please, if you wish to, go to patreon.com/MWA podcast and support us there.
Fantastic. Thanks a bunch, Sean. So let's move on to the five questions. So, Eric, what's your favorite tool? And our limit, of course, is 23.
That's good, because yeah. I'm close.
Okay.
I actually looked, I thought about this. I have a 1 hour commute every day to work and home. And I was thinking about this today. And my
By the way, our limit is 23.
Okay. There
minutes.
Is
yeah, 23
Lee
minutes.
Valley. 23 minutes. It's a time, not a number. I love
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I'm going to take all 23 of them. Lee Valley sells a pocket rule. It's a Shinwa 6-inch rule. It's $12.50. That is my favorite tool. I have used that same rule for like 25 years. I've used it for everything. I love that rule. And a Sterrett rule is a lot more. And I can get three of these for one of those.
Are they just as true in their measurement?
They are. And they have end graduations. And they are exactly 750 thou wide. They are thinner by like a 64th than the Sterrett.
Can I ask, how do you keep that in your pocket without it shredding the pocket?
I don't put it in my pocket.
Well, it's called a pocket rule. What the hell?
I don't know. There's a lot of things called things, but I don't use them for that. I keep it in my apron pocket. I don't put it in my apron pocket.
Yeah, I've tried to carry a rule like that in my apron, and every time I bend over to pick something up, it falls out. But for $12.50, like, you know, there's no big deal.
I got two more of them right over there.
Is it chemically etched? Can you feel the graduations?
Yeah, it's a nice rule. It's a really nice rule. And for $12, they used to be $10. Now they're $12.50. So
inflation's rough.
And it looks like on the end of it, it has little graduations for height adjustments.
I made the mistake. I threw one away not long ago. It wasn't one of those. I got it at a well-known big box woodworking store. And the width, I don't know what the width of it was. It wasn't 3/4. And it screwed me up because I thought they were all 3/4 inch. And this one wasn't. And I had to get rid of it.
How thick is it? Do you know how thick it is?
The one I threw away or the one I kept?
The actual Lee Valley pocket rule.
I can tell you, but I'd have to find my caliper and the rule. It's not currently in my pocket. I don't know.
Maybe we'll have that in the links.
Not terribly thick. It doesn't even list on the website.
No, it's a
16th. Yeah, I'm just wondering if it's a 16th. I mean, like, how perfect would that be?
I don't think it's a 16th. I think it's
thicker.
It's a 64th thinner than the Sterrett, if I remember right.
I don't know what the Sterrett is, but yeah, that's got to be more than a 16th.
I will find out.
Okay.
Before we hang up, I will find out.
Okay.
Okay.
The other one is every fine woodworking magazine, all of them. I have all of them and I use all of them all the time. I know that there's digital ways to do that. I don't like reading things digitally. I like paper. And I grew up before the internet and I learned how to, my woodworking was like with a library card. Mm-hmm. And I lived in Portland, so I used to hang out at Powell's Books. And you could just sit in the stacks and read books all day. So I used to. I would just read books. I would go there on Sundays, and I would read all day. I would read all the woodworking books. Those are my...
Might want to bring this up next time that Fine Woodworking Live happens. But when I went to Wood Magazine's event back with Diami years ago, part of the door prize, whatever, included in your admission, was a flash drive digitally of their entire magazine run up from the beginning to that date, which was awesome. I haven't referred to it ever, but I've looked at it just trolling, you know, just like, oh, like what? Okay. I want to see what's on this flash drive. But otherwise, like that resource digitally, you know, as in print, it can be very valuable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I subscribe to the, I got grandfathered in at the old price for the digital plus print fine woodworking. So I read the magazines when they come in, but I don't keep them because they take up in a tremendous amount of space.
Sure.
And I have books. So I keep the books, I get rid of the magazines, but I love using the online system as a reference. You know, if I have a question or a, you know, like, oh, I need some examples of joinery or something like that. So I would not sit and read the articles online, but I love having them as a, you know, a quick reference. I can search it.
Mm-hmm.
But searching through magazines would drive me insane.
Oh, so, no, you search the internet to find out which magazine it's in.
And then you go to that magazine.
And then you go to the magazine.
Well, yeah.
And then you open it up.
I had a stack of Popwoods and Fine Woodworkings, and it was just getting out of control. And I was like, okay, I have a digital subscription. I don't need the print. And I don't have like a legacy collection from the episode one, issue one. So there's really no nostalgia reason to keep it. So
that's exactly the path I took, you know, the internet search to the magazine when I built my stool, which I'm going to go grab while I talk. But it was a Popwood article, and they had the plans in the magazine, and so I went and I found the magazine, and I then built one. See, look at that thing.
There you go. You get the puzzle joint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the one that I saw that I thought that would be fun to build.
It was super fun. And you know what, Kat, as I described previously, Mark, I CADed this entire thing, and I was able to print it out in full size. And so when I was building it, I could trace things if needed to absolutely make my dimensions right. But there you go. And the top split when I was working on it, so that's epoxied back together. But whatever, it works.
You need some Dutch.
Who says you don't like epoxy pores?
I don't.
The epoxy stool, epoxy the river stool.
No, it's not a river stool. Jesus,
that's copyrighted. Don't say that on the podcast.
Oh boy,
all right, get us in trouble.
Pond. It's a pond. A thin pond.
A thin pond. That's a very thin pond in my case. So, all right. So. Who has influenced you the most in your woodworking?
That's pretty, I've known Gary for a long time. Gary Rogowski, I think. Early on I was drawn to his work, and then recently I've been working with him for 3 years. So, he doesn't push his own design style, but you know, I think that, I'm still probably drawn to the style that he designed in, because that was when I was kind of cutting my teeth, was that was what I was looking at.
Your formative years, your formative time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I also was going to list Fine Woodworking Magazine here too, because that's how I learned. Garrett Hack and Garrett Hack especially, and Gary and Mario Rodriguez early on. This is a big deal. And lately I would say Philip Morley has me thinking more about details and less about shape. Not that he doesn't think about shape, but Phil's details make his pieces. And I've reached a point where it's not about the technology, the techniques of doing something. It's about the details that go on afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a lot of that. So I think those are the three.
Yeah. Have you had an opportunity to see some of his work in person, Philip Morley's?
I haven't.
Oh, it is absolutely beautiful. I mean, it is just like, yeah, it looks like it does in the pictures. I mean, you know, it's like, yeah, there's no sleight of hand. There's no lighting, you know, stuff like that. He does some just phenomenal work.
But he does have a good backdrop.
Yes, he does have a good backdrop. I'm not saying these pictures are not fantastic. I'm saying the work is just like the pictures. It's absolutely
as good
fantastic.
As the photos.
Yeah.
Well, he usually has it in like a luxury home or, you know, so.
Skyscraper.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, what is your woodworking white whale?
So I have a pod of white whales. Isn't that what a herd of whales is called?
Yeah, you're right. It's a pod. Okay. Yes.
Pod. I thought about that today. I had a bunch of stuff, and a toolbox was one. And so I started a toolbox. It's hanging on the wall. I just need to organize my tools and put it in there. So that was one for a long time. It's kind of an ode to Christian Bexford, but not really. Okay. I kept looking at magazines, and I kept every time he had an article, you would see his toolbox in the background. It's like, I need to build one of those. So I did that, and I learned how to do table saw dovetails doing that. So that was like an excuse. A ladder back chair was a big deal, and I took care of that at Mark's place. So that was a huge deal. I just got word. I just sent Greg Pennington a couple of shekels, and I'm in his August sack back chair class. So I'm really stoked about that. That just happened while we were talking earlier.
I was about to say earlier, you said you reached out to him, so you've heard back during the podcast.
I made the deposit. I got a deposit in, so I'm in. Now I just got to figure out how to pay for it. at Mark's shop, two things. The first is I'd never used any bench crafted hardware before, and I need to build a bench. I need to build another bench bad. I got really spoiled
hardware.
Really spoiled. And also the shave horse I mentioned earlier, that's another one. So I've got this bench is like out of Fine Woodworking magazine. It's Bob Van Dyke's, what he uses in his school, but at a beach, and I put a beach top on it, and it's fine, but
could you source beach locally?
I did not. I got it. I had to buy 300 board feet, but I got it for 98 cents a board foot.
Oh,
it was okay. A closeout at a lumber yard, and I had an Amazon gift card, and I bought a Wilton little 9-7-inch Wilton vise, and I just said I'm done, and I bought that for my birthday, so a couple 6 years ago.
Do you have trouble getting beach, Sean?
I've never even seen it locally.
I when I made the prototype bench that I took to the first handworks, that was made of beach.
Yeah, I mean, I'll look. The one shop where I am, Woodcraft opened up less than 15 years ago. So it hasn't existed there that long. And there is one shop called Kencraft locally that is a lumber supplier. I've been in there. They've done a lot of stuff. I've gotten Purple Heart from them, maple, rustic maple, walnut, oak, but not a lot of, there's none of that here.
It's not, I had to order it from a big supplier, but
yeah.
But they were local to me. I mean, it was European beach. It was not.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know. Is beach grown domestically anywhere?
Mine's domestic.
Is it? Okay. I don't even know where it's grown.
But it's not, mine's not anywhere near as stable as European beach. It's split. It took off.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. But, I don't know what the difference is,
And Kencraft, I've actually been to that Kencraft in Cleveland.
In Toledo.
Toledo. Sorry. Yes. Sorry.
Have you been in Kencraft? You've been literally. Oh, yeah.
He's holding up his
holy
Kencraft.
Holy crap. App. How have you, what?
Well, what was that? What is that?
I was driving to Jimmy's dresses in New York. That's a push stick. Yeah. I was driving to Jimmy's in New York, and I was driving through Toledo, and I'd heard of this Kencraft place, and I thought, I'm going to give it a shot.
Oh, my God. You were within 5 miles of my house. Legitimately.
I bought a push stick to, I don't know.
So you know where I've been. Yeah.
I've been there.
It's a relatively small shop, a good shop for the area.
Yeah. It was a nice place.
Yeah.
Nice guy. I met Ken. I don't know.
Ken, I think it is Ken. Ken and his son and his daughter run basically the shop.
Got a full tour.
The Mr. Yeah. Crafted?
I don't know what their last name is.
Mr. Crafted and son and Lady Crafted.
Yeah. That's funny. I had no idea. Yeah. I had this on my bandsaw. This is what I used to resaw.
Yeah. Yep. When they got that CNC, it was like a new adventure for them. Yeah. They didn't have it 10 years ago, but they got one, and all of a sudden you could bring your own designs in and have them CNC it for you, or they're making all sorts of utility things, like making use of that damn machine as much as they could.
Cool.
I'm trying to think of how I heard of him. It was
probably Pasciuto.
Yeah. It was, he's on a podcast with Jimmy, and that was it.
Yep. Dave's a good guy.
Yeah. I thought maybe he'd be there, but he wasn't there.
Well, cool. Well, what has been your biggest stumbling block in woodworking?
Me.
I was just going to say unfinished projects, but
yes. No, that's that right.
That's him.
Right. That's me too. That, Congo? You're not my problem. I'm my problem. Yeah. Yeah, I have a really hard time with, I have unreal expectations in my head of things that I make. And since they're not for anybody else, I can just accept the fact that it's not going to be the way I like it. And I just stop and I work on something else. And sometimes I come back to it and sometimes I burn it, which is fine.
It's only walnut.
It's made of walnut.
Yeah. It's firewood anyway. Uh-huh. That's changed quite a bit. That was where Gary's program helped me a lot, where I had to finish it. And if it wasn't what I liked, he didn't care. You're going to finish it.
So be it.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, and it was funny. Some friends of ours have a pottery studio, and I didn't know this, but they bought the pottery studio from another owner, which I did know. But what I didn't know is that they didn't know anything about pottery. They bought a pottery studio and a house and acreage and became potters. They didn't know what they were doing. They had to learn how to do it. And the owner showed them how and made them sell their early works. And they were super embarrassed about them. And they're like, it doesn't matter if you like it. You're going to sell that because you can't throw it away. You have too much energy into it. Even if it's $5, someone will buy that. And we were having a conversation and we decided it was, it was better to feel like a imposter than a coward.
Yeah.
So I need to start finishing more things and making them go away. So that's
I think you learn a lot by forcing yourself to finish it. Like, because you have a new set of design constraints to work within, right? I don't really like this detail, but it's there. Yep. So now I have to salvage it. And that's how you generate creativity. I mean, you're like forcing yourself to be creative and also getting over perfectionism, which is a massive problem with crafts people.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just have to ship the damn thing and, you know, it's never going to be perfect, you know? So, yeah, I think that's a great service Gary has provided you with.
I tell you, he will tell you, quit trying to design the best chair and design the second best chair and accept it, you know?
Yeah, just design a good chair.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. One good chair, right? That's Wagner's saying.
Yep. In fact, I have that book.
Me too.
Right over there.
It's a great book.
It's great. It's fantastic. I actually got two of them because I ordered ordered it from Amazon. It was back ordered. And all of a sudden it showed up and it was like, oh, fantastic. This is great. And then 2 weeks later, another one showed up.
I think that one's mine.
I actually already gave that one away. But
mistakenly shipped to Texas. It was supposed to land in Ohio.
Like, I was just like, oh, great. I got two for one. It's fantastic. Anyway, but I did give that one away to one of our former podcast hosts, Diami, has that.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. So anyway, but next question, Sean.
Yeah. So how has the internet influenced your work?
It would be recent work because like I'm old and I learned woodworking before there was an internet.
Sure.
So my early stuff was like books, magazines, and like everybody else, Roy Underhill and Norm Abrams, you know, I kind of grew up watching those programs. But now it's pretty much Instagram. And I have a design class and I was showing my class where they're designing a lounge chair this year. And when I see details that I like, I save them on my phone and Instagram, just pictures, just little details. And when I don't have anything to do, I go back into my saved, I don't know what they're called. Saved
posts. Or, yeah. I mean, I do the same thing. It's like cool stuff.
And it's like, oh, I need to incorporate that. That little curve I need to have on a leg. Or that reminds me, I need to buy a gouge because I want to carve a thing kind of like that. And that's Instagram. I don't do Facebook. I don't even really watch YouTube that much anymore. I watch Mark's stuff when he sends me email saying that he has a new one out, but that's not YouTube. That's your,
you have a choice, right? You can watch it on my side or you can watch it on YouTube. So
I watch it on your side.
Hey, that's fine with me. No commercials on my site.
I pretty much just use Instagram and I use it just to interact with people that I pretty much already know for the most part. And I meet new people all the time, but, and to unabashedly save, and I don't want to say steal, but incorporate little details that I see that I like into my own stuff. So,
well, have you been following this Hyperion project? It's a It's a chair that Pepe Lima designed, and you can get the free plan, CNC stuff, all that kind of stuff. It's pretty darn cool.
It's exactly what I thought of when he said they have to design a lounge chair. It's like, you know, you could throw him the Hyperion chair as a base plate and say, here's a boilerplate for a chair, like make it your own. And
yeah.
And that's what Pepe wants, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, Pepe's a,
I can't watch this. That's not how I'm teaching this class. Make that go.
Okay.
Away.
Never mind. Don't tell them they can listen to the first episode, but not the second one, because the second one has spoilers in it.
No, I gave them some, I gave them a search at first dibs for a certain period of lounge chair. And then they sort of found a time period or a design style that they liked. And then
I'd like
they,
to see that prompt.
Yeah. I have the search. It's just a, anyway, we can talk about that.
That's cool.
And then they came up with sort of their own design iterations. And then I put them in teams and everybody has their own thing. And now they have to get together and work as a team to come up with one chair. Semester's not over yet. We'll see how that goes. I hand them some pipe cleaners and some scissors here pretty soon, and they'll start forming stuff. And then they come up with a design 3D solid model, jigs, fixtures, and some approximate materials costs and processes. So it's pretty interesting. We did dining room chairs last year. It's kind of a disaster, but
well, maybe you should know about this project in case anyone tries to sneak this past you.
Yeah, I'll take a look at that.
Well, yeah. So this is your production design or design for production class.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been using chairs. Well, so I got a professional development grant, part of it. No, I won a teaching award, and I used part of that funding for professional development to come and take your class. So I won a teaching award. I went to a luncheon for that on Friday.
I have award-winning students.
Yes.
And yes. Take my classes. Yes. I got to put that on the website.
And award-winning. And I used that award to pay for my $28 a night Airbnb when I was down there.
Wow. $28.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were going out of business, so to speak. They were selling their house or something.
She sold the house. It was next to that swimming pool. Over by that donut shop.
Yeah. the outdoor pool. The Gruba pool.
It was right across the street from that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a great pool in the summertime. That's some serious Ozark inside baseball there, folks. We're sorry.
Sorry. Yeah. The donut shop was rocking. That was a really good donut shop.
Yes, yes. If you come to Ozark, St. Augustine? No.
St. Something.
I'll show you where it is when you come to the class.
Yeah. Got it.
Where can folks find you on the interwebs, Eric?
I am on Instagram at Driftless Joinery.
And Mark, what about yourself?
You can find me at Mark Builds It on Instagram, or at The Joint Effort on YouTube. Or if you want to find out about those videos that Eric was talking about, you can go to jointeffort.net and sign up for the newsletter. How about you, Kyle?
You can always find me at Bart.Kyle or BB Custom Tools on Instagram or bbcustomtools.com or on YouTube under Kyle Barton and BB Custom Tools. So, Sean, what about yourself?
Per usual, you can find me at SeanW78 on most social medias.
And that just about wraps it up for this show. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the show on the podcatcher of your choice. Just search for the Modern Woodworkers Association. And while you're there, please leave us a review. You can follow us on Instagram at MWA_podcast. And if you'd like to support the podcast, go over to patreon.com/MWA podcast. But the best thing you can do is tell a friend. Word of mouth goes a long way in sharing our discussion.